97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, happy Friday to you. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. That would be me, and I'm sitting in here with Kim St. Ange and Ethan Bright this morning, and I cannot tell you what a relief it was to walk out the door this morning, feel a little breeze, and think, man, I'm afraid to say this, but it almost feels a little chilly out here.
It was nice.
Wasn't it nice?
60s.
After all we've gone through the past couple of weeks, it is refreshingly cool out there. And, man, I'm excited about mowing my grass today. I am.
I'm happy for you, Mark.
I know.
I don't know about all that.
Well, I mean, come on. I dreaded that, having to do that in that weather. And I'm like, I think if I just wait a few days, this is going to all get a lot better. So we're happy you're with us here. First day of August. We're getting one of the coolest days of the summer right here on the first day of August. That is fantastic. And, hey, last night, you know, one of our friends here who listens to the show all the time and who joins us on Facebook every morning, and it's always great to run into him and see him, is Richie. I went out to see him last night. He plays music he and another lady who are part of a band they call Pretty Weeds. And they were out at Salvatore's Italian pizza restaurant last night right there off 364 and Harvester, basically. And just acoustic, just great music. Went out there and had an appetizer and had a great time. So that was a great way to kind of pre-game the weekend, don't you think? Fantastic. You guys did a great job. My friend Richie brought me this shirt, which is why I bring this up. Of course, he works at Whiskey Dickerson as well. This is you've heard us saying St. Louis Conservative. This is one of our St. Louis Conservative shirts. Now, this one is a one-off. So I'd like to tell you that you can go out and buy this somewhere, but right now, this shirt not available yet. So I'm the only one that's got one. Thank you, Reggie. I appreciate you for that. Thank you.
It looks good.
We're working on it, though. Don't you worry. We're working on some new shirts with the logo on there. So stick around for that. Man, we have got a great show for you today. Can I just tell you that on a Friday? I love saying that on a Friday morning. Fantastic. I stumbled across something yesterday. It was brought to my attention by another member of the media here in the St. Louis area that has received zero coverage. Let me repeat that. Has received zero coverage in the mainstream media locally. And why? I have absolutely no idea. Because the outrage of it is this. Recently, a three-year season ticket holder for the St. Louis City soccer team, got kicked out of the game. You know why he got kicked out of the game? Not for fighting, not for being drunk or obnoxious or anything else. Apparently, words hurt. And he went to a St. Louis City soccer game dressed in a red shirt to support the team and a red Make America Great Again hat. And, of course, you know, these soccer games last 90 minutes. An hour into it, he got approached by – he said he got flipped off by a few people, and then he got approached by a stadium staff member who told him he had to leave. He had to take the hat off or leave. And they brought in, like, 8 St. Louis police officers. They were city and county officers, from what I could tell, working seconds there at the stadium. And they escorted him out of that stadium. I've seen the social media post. He was polite. He asked a few questions. He didn't resist. They didn't have to put him in handcuffs. They walked him out because he had a MAGA hat on. He's surrounded by idiots with gay pride flags and no king shirts and all of that. And they targeted him because he is a Donald Trump fan. And that is apparently unacceptable to the St. Louis City Soccer Club. They should apologize to this man, thank him for continuing to pay for his season tickets to see a team that is far from exciting and certainly not successful. They should be kissing people's rear ends to go to games up there now. But instead, they removed him from the stadium.
So there was no sort of, me being the skeptic, there was no sort of
argument or something between him and other fans leading up to that?
He said he has. He doesn't even have any idea who complained about it. After he left, he thinks there were a couple of women a couple of rows back. His friend he went with and the two kids he was with stayed. And they were getting looks from the people a couple of rows back. They think those are the couple of Karens back there, liberal Karens, complained about his hat. Wow. And they kicked him out.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's just, this is the level of stupidity we've gotten to. And we're going to talk to him live in the next hour. So he was kind enough to give me a few minutes this morning. This has received absolutely zero coverage from Channel 4, Channel 5, Channel 2, as you're probably not surprised by that, but I haven't heard it on any other radio in town except one. I will credit Kevin Slayton for drawing it to my attention, and thank you, Kevin. So I reached out to Mike, and Mike is going to join us here in the 6 o'clock hour this morning to tell you his side of the story. I watched he started recording when they approached him to tell him that he had to remove the hat or leave.
That's
if he
smart.
Took the hat off and stuck it in his shirt where nobody could dare be offended by it, their eyes wouldn't start bleeding if they saw it, they would have let him stay. And he's like, no, I have a right to wear this hat. There's nothing offensive on this hat. What part of make or America or great or again is offensive? Mm-hmm. Is you know, what is it?
I mean, you know how I feel about stuff like this. I always respect people who stick to their guns.
Yeah.
Who don't compromise.
He stuck to his guns. He was very polite. He didn't blame the police officers. They were just doing their jobs. But we'll get to Mike coming up here in the next hour. Stay tuned for that. A little later, Beavis Shock. You heard Kim reporting on this lawsuit to stop the stadium underwriting bill because it violates the Constitution. It was supposed to be one issue, and they added all that other stuff in there for tornado relief and everything else, and they're suing. Down in, I think, Cole County is where they filed the suit, and Beavis Shock is one of the attorneys working on that. He's going to join us in the next hour. J.J. Carafano, Congressman Eric Burleson, Tom Sullivan, the guy that started the investigation into Sam Page that has led to him being indicted. He's going to join us today in the 8 o'clock hour. So we've got lots of good stuff for you, and I hope you can stick around for the whole show. Right now, Ethan, let's go ahead and get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
It is time to turn the corner of a society where automatic weapons are as easy to get as a cell phone.
Mike, or Eric Adams there up in New York, who used to be a police officer, who doesn't know the difference between an automatic and a semi-automatic weapon. I don't even know where to start with these lefties.
Too late, pal. He's terrible, the Federal Reserve Chairman. It was a mistake. I put him in, and then Biden extended him. No, he's a political hack. Not very good. He's not a smart guy.
Yeah, it looks like we're going to have to suffer through that Jerome Powell pick until his time expires. He's not leaving, and his plan is apparently to stick it to the American people as much as he can.
Just over a year ago, I launched my campaign for President of the United States. 107 days traveling the country, fighting for our future. The shortest presidential campaign in modern history. It was intense, high stakes, and deeply personal for me and for so many of you.
And very, 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 very expensive, and you lost. And what she spent the last amount of time doing, you know why she popped up everywhere yesterday? She's selling a book.
Thank you, sir. Hey. So that's what happens if you wear a Donald Trump hat to a St. Louis City soccer club game. Thanks for watching.
Yeah, there you go. That was my guy, Mike Weitzel. He's going to join us next hour. I did my due diligence on this because I wanted to make sure it wasn't a situation where somebody was, you know, overserved or, you know, drinking too much and got obnoxious with someone or something like that. He was removed for that game for one reason, his free speech. He didn't say anything to anybody. He didn't take the hat off and wave it under anybody's nose. He didn't threaten anybody. He wore a Make America Great Again hat and got escorted out of the St. Louis City soccer game while people were waving St. Louis Pride flags two sections away from him. This is the society you live in today. Could you imagine if you know, when I see somebody wearing a Hillary Clinton or a Kamala Harris shirt, or I see a sticker on the back of a car, I feel bad for them, but I don't feel compelled to say anything to them or flip them off or any of that. It's you're entitled to your opinion. Your opinion doesn't hurt me unless you're cheating somehow at the ballot box. It doesn't. You're entitled to your opinion. It's free speech. And this guy got they would have frog marched him. They said, "We're not here to debate you. You have two choices. You either leave willingly or we will handcuff you and walk you out of here for wearing a MAGA hat." That's how the St. Louis City soccer team treats people. And that's a shame. That really is a shame. All right, we're going to talk to him at about 6:20 this morning, about an hour from now. So stay tuned, and you can hear directly from his mouth. And Kim, he was very open about how the whole thing went down. So we've got the audio, and we can ask him about that. We'll get to that, and we'll get to Kim on a whim here coming up at the bottom of the hour. Right now, let's get to our national anthem.
Spoken to Senator Hawley, who called him, and the president took that call. As the president said in the Roosevelt Room yesterday, conceptually, he of course supports the idea of ensuring that members of Congress and United States senators who are here for public service cannot enrich themselves. And the reason that this idea to put a ban on stock trading for members of Congress is even a thing is because of Nancy Pelosi. I mean, she is rightfully criticized because she makes, I think, $174,000 a year, yet she has a net worth of approximately $413 million. In 2024, Nancy Pelosi's stock portfolio, this was a fascinating statistic to me, grew 70% in 1 year in 2024, and her portfolio outperformed every single large hedge fund in that same year, and even more than doubled the returns of Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway. So I think the president stands with the American people on this. He doesn't want to see people like Nancy Pelosi enriching themselves off of public service and ripping off their constituents in the process. As for the mechanics of the legislation and how it will move forward, the White House continues to be in discussions with our friends on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, boy, Caroline Leavitt is worth her weight in gold. Can I just tell you that? Pointing out that, first of all, the hypocrisy of Nancy Pelosi to act like she's offended that anyone would suggest she did anything wrong. I saw the video with her earlier this week. We might have played part of it. The media really, really wants there to be a big conflict with Josh Hawley and Donald Trump. And we're going to get Senator Hawley on here at some point. We've put in the request, I think, going on 2 weeks now.
Something like that.
Yeah, we'll get him on here. We'll ask him what this is all about. I still think that on this particular bill, it was a little bit of a misunderstanding, but I could be wrong. I mean, it's okay for them to have legitimate differences in opinion. Hawley wants what we want on this, and that is to ban insider trading by members of Congress. The president wants what we want on this, which is to ban insider trading by members of Congress. They're on the exact same track there. The biggest difference is Ron Johnson introduced a bill that would, or an amendment to that bill that would have specifically called for some investigation specifically of Nancy Pelosi, like hearings specifically on Nancy Pelosi. And I agree that should be done. I have no problem with that. But sometimes, as we've learned in the legislative world, when you add amendments, sometimes they are poison pills. And to a lot of people on the committee, they supported the greater idea. They didn't think that particular amendment to target an individual member of Congress should be included in that legislation. Do it separately. And when Josh Hawley said he voted against that amendment with the Democrats, primarily because he saw it as a poison pill, not that he disagreed that she should be investigated. So I really think the whole thing was a little bit of a misunderstanding. I get him on here. I'll ask him questions about the whole Medicaid issue and wanting to roll back some, if he's still in support of rolling back some of those cuts and stuff that have been put in. I think the interesting conversation here moving forward is going to be redistricting. I got to tell you, I was talking to Ryan Wiggins in my office yesterday, and he goes, "Do you think Missouri will really go to like a 7-1 map?" And I'm like, "Well, I don't know if they'll do that or not. They should. I mean, let's face it. As I explained to Kim yesterday, and to him, the district around Kansas City, which is the Emmanuel Cleaver district, was designed specifically to be a minority district. That's what it was designed for. No other district is drawn like that, right? They had to make the district next to it twice as large to gather enough people to get the whatever hundred and however many constituents are in each congressional district. To make that number, they had to play funny with the math. They could easily expand that district that Cleaver's in partially out a little more, but if they do that, it's not a guaranteed minority district. It's suddenly maybe a 50-50 district, and that's not what the Democrats want. So it was intentionally kept the way it was, but it doesn't reflect the will of the people in the state of Missouri. So I wish they would. I don't know if the political will is there or not to do it. President Trump's going to push for it. In Texas, hold your hats. Hold your 10-gallon hat there, cowboy, because if they do what they're about to do down there, that's going to be a brilliant stroke. I've got a friend, Kurt, who is running for Congress down there in the 33rd district. And it has been a purple district for a while. If they make these changes, it's going to be a light pink district, which radically improves his chances of winning in that race. And I hope they go ahead and make those moves because for all the belly aching of these Democrats, if you look at California and Illinois and New York, they've done the exact same thing. They've punished Republicans. There are three Republican congressmen from the entire state of Illinois. We're back with Kim on a Whim in just a minute.
Kim on a Whim.
And right now, we can be doing better by our kids because 1 in 3 of our children is either overweight or obese in this country. And doctors are seeing more and more children with health problems related to obesity, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, type 2 diabetes. And these used to be diseases that we would only see in adults, but now they're becoming a regular part of a pediatrician's practice. And every year, as a result of these conditions, we're spending billions of dollars on treating obesity-related conditions. And we can't afford to keep going down this road.
Michelle Obama talked a really big game when she was first lady, particularly about health and making America healthy again and children and school lunches and what needs to be included and what shouldn't and trying to get the students moving. Remember, she would host those fitness activities or whatever where she'd try to get people, the kids particularly, you know, up and exercising. But they really weren't making actual good change like they are right now under the leadership of RFK Jr.
No, it was all lip service.
It was lip service.
Yeah.
And what I find interesting was, you know, when Barack Obama was president, he had taken the presidential fitness test that had been put in place back in the 1950s under Eisenhower, and he changed it to the fitness gram, which they said was a holistic approach to student wellness because they felt like it was too stressful and unfair for the students to be put up against one another in some sort of a competitive nature to see who could run the mile the fastest, I guess, or who could do the best reach. What do they call it? The reach and sit and reach or whatever. I remember that.
Yeah.
The sit-ups, the pull-ups, all the different things that you have to do as part of this presidential fitness test. Well, thank you, President Trump, for bringing this back. Yesterday, he announced that this was officially coming back and that he's also bringing back the council, where it's actually made up of several professional athletes who are going to be advising him on just different things that we can be doing. And one of the athletes who's part of this council is the Chiefs kicker, Harrison Butker. Did you hear what he said about Butker?
I did not.
I was trying to find the clip before we went back on the air. he kind of, he's like, where's Harrison Butker? And he's looking around for him, and he's like, you know, normally you're not it's not my thing, but man, you are handsome. You are a good looking
guy.
You're
a good looking guy.
I mean, it's such a Trump thing to say. But then I want to play this clip for you. This is when he only had like 30 seconds, Harrison did, to go up to the mic and briefly say something. But this is what he had to say at yesterday's announcement.
Obviously, very excited to be here. Thank you, Mr. President, for allowing me to serve on the council. Just excited to do my part to help make America healthy again, to help our youth be healthy and thrive and grow up and be great citizens of this country and be great family members and contribute to this great country. And I think you have to be strong in mind, in body, and soul. So thank you so much for allowing me to be here.
That's who you want on the council.
Oh, absolutely.
Someone like Harrison Butker.
I just don't know why he didn't tell some of the women in the audience to make him a sandwich.
No, I think he did later.
Oh, did he?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
because
yeah.
You know that's how he is.
Right. No, absolutely. He said, get back in the kitchen. What are you doing? You can't sit on the couch
He
and
said
relax.
To some of the reporters in the front row, some of the ladies, aren't you embarrassed that you're here and not at home taking care of your family and having babies and making sandwiches?
Right. And he also said, and you need to make sure that you're, you know, fully dressed with your makeup and your heels when you make
when your husband
for
gets
your
home.
Husband. You absolutely
have a drink waiting for him when he walks in the door. That guy got vilified last year. Remember, they wanted the Chiefs to fire him because of the comments he made at a Catholic university.
Didn't he get a raise?
He got a raise and an extension by the Chiefs out there. So kudos to them for that.
And now he's serving on this council under President Trump. How cool. I think this is great that Trump's bringing this back. You know, I guess I can understand the whole competitive thing, but I think we get so scared of kids competing against one another because they're worried that feelings will get hurt. And that's why so many athletes will get the participation award instead of, no, you were first, you were second, you were third, you weren't good enough to play, so therefore you don't get a medal.
Remember when it was the great equalizer? The sporting field was the great equalizer. You can't cheat. People can claim you cheat with better equipment or whatever the case may be, but you're either faster than the person next to you or you're not.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Well,
unless you're a male.
Yeah.
Swimming against women. And then that's all out the door. Or a man playing in the WNBA.
Well, thank goodness Trump made some changes to the way that the Olympics are going to go down. In fact, hey, Ethan, can you play clip 10 for us?
We banned men from competing in women's sports. And last week, the United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee announced that they will be complying with that order. So there won't be men playing in women's sports. That seemed like an easy one. They say it's an 80-20 issue during the campaign. I said, no, that's not 80-20. That's 97-3. Maybe it's 98-2, perhaps.
Probably, yeah. I would not say it's, what did you say initially, 70-30? No. There are more people who are level-headed than that. There are some crazies out there, but even some of the liberals don't think that men should be competing with women.
Did you hear they invited Giants great Lawrence Taylor up to the podium? Did you see that one during this? Ethan, if my computer's up over here and I don't have anything else playing, let me play this for you. Lawrence Taylor was a all-star Hall of Fame tight end or defensive end for the Giants back in the day. And the president invited him up to the podium. And here's what he said.
Thank you, Nelson. Lawrence, you want to say a few words? Come on up. Come on. He's a little shy, but once he gets going, nobody can stop.
No, don't stop. I'm just proud to be on this team. I don't know why. I don't know what we're supposed to be doing, but I'm here to serve, and I'm here to serve you. Okay, so I'm going to do the best I can for as long as I can. Thank you very much.
I don't know why I'm here. No. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm ready to serve. At least he's honest.
I'm proud to be on the team. Whatever. No idea why I'm here, Mr. President, but I'm glad to serve.
I don't know what the team's doing, but dang it, I'm proud to be on it.
That was the most honest comment that you probably heard there yesterday. Most of those guys are like, yeah, we'll give you advice. But, you know, I mean, generally speaking, they were doing the drills and not running the drills. Like, so it's great to have the big names that you can, like, all of those guys would attract a crowd if you sent them out to speak about this.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's very strategic on the part of the White House to have well-known athletes like Butker and Lawrence Taylor who are going to go out and talk about this.
Well, who's that? So the professional golfer Bryson
DeChambeau.
Yes.
Was he there?
He's also part of this.
Oh, good. Good.
There's a bunch of big names.
That guy. Have you ever seen how far he can drive the ball? Like, he could outdrive Trump. There's a video, though,
Didn't
of him,
play Trump?
Him playing with Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
And Trump hit the ball on an approach shot to the pin inside of where DeChambeau hit it. Like, I remember that clip. It was pretty funny because this guy's on the pro golf tour and Trump was, like, hanging with it. Like, he can't drive as far as DeChambeau can. That guy's arms are the size of my thighs. I mean, he's an athlete, and he's built like a, you know, an Adonis or something, but yeah.
I'm just looking forward to sanity being restored back in schools. Well, hopefully. Maybe I'm...
Far too long.
Yeah. So, I guess kids get ready to have to do the mile-long run and the pull-ups again and your sit-ups and your sit-and-reach.
Well, here's the thing, and I saw this, and it was on a social media post I saw the other day, but it's very true. So they show a picture of a loaf of bread that was found in Pompeii. You know, we got that Pompeii exhibit at the Science Center right now. They show a picture of a loaf of bread with the little, you know, indentations and crosses across the top of it, and like it had probably just been baked when that volcano blew up. And then the ash fell, and this thing got preserved. It hardened into a piece of rock, basically, and it got preserved all these years. And you think about that. People have been eating bread in this world for thousands of years. Gluten allergies came around in the last 30. So if you don't think RFK is onto something here, you're out of your mind. Somebody needs to be asking these questions.
Yeah.
Why has autism spiked? Mm-hmm. Why does everybody suddenly have a gluten allergy? I went to McAdoodle's yesterday, and they had a microbrewer in there who is now making beer specifically that's gluten-free. Mm-hmm. Because there's such an audience for it.
Yeah.
Where did we go wrong? I'm not saying anything about the brewery doing that. They're providing a service to an audience. But where did all this come from?
No,
he's asking the right questions.
That's what I mean. Michelle Obama, they were so big on health, but I don't feel like they were actually making any tangible changes that were actually moving the needle. They are doing that. They're getting rid of the dyes. They're doing so many different things now under Trump, specifically his second term, not as much as first term because that had a whole mess.
Yeah, right. Right.
But this has been, the last 6 months and what the changes I have seen, oh my gosh, I actually feel so encouraged.
Me too. I agree. I agree with you 100% on that. Hey, I saw where the city of St. Louis here coming up. I saw where the city of St. Louis is lifting the moratorium in the city on actually making you pay your water bill. Have you seen the story?
Mm-hmm.
This is amazing. We're going to talk about this when we come back. All right, welcome back. Kim was talking about that bite with Harrison Butker earlier. Listen.
A handsome guy, by the way. It's usually not my thing, but he is a good-looking sucker.
Thank you.
Somebody, Trump comment.
Somebody on the Messenger sent that to me because Kim said she was looking for it and couldn't find it. So there you have it. I hate to go back to some of the crap we went through with COVID, but I'm going to dig into it because there was something that always stuck in my craw. And Kim, this was before you started on the show, but I know now you and your husband have flipped a few houses and have become landlords in at least one instance. There was no more infuriating policy. I mean, obviously, I didn't appreciate businesses being closed and all of that. There was no more infuriating policy during COVID than when the lefties in this country under the Biden administration decided that, well, you know, if you're undergoing COVID, whether you don't even have to prove whether or not it affected your job. They wanted to put a moratorium on rent. Like you could just not pay your landlord. Well, they put a moratorium on evictions, basically. Mm-hmm. So you could just not pay your landlord and the landlords couldn't evict you because the court wouldn't take the action to kick them out. So these freeloaders immediately took advantage of the situation and for years didn't pay. Well, what they didn't put a moratorium on was the fact that the person who owned the property still had to make their payment to the bank if they had a loan on the property. It was the most insane policy I've ever heard. And I wonder how many people lost their properties because when they had no rent coming in, they couldn't afford to pay two or three mortgages if they're a landlord who has purchased homes to make them available to rent. We hear all about the lack of affordable housing in this country all the time, and we actually had an administration under Biden that wanted to tell people, well, you can't evict them. I don't care if they pay or not. They're struggling through COVID. They don't have to pay their bills right now. Same thing with the student loans, suspending people having to pay student loans because of COVID. It was just an excuse and a giveaway program. It hurt hardworking people, which is what most of these lefty policies do. They hurt hardworking people. And that's what happened there. Now, the city of St. Louis water system, I can't imagine how they have afforded. Well, I know how they've afforded to do it. Taxpayers in St. Louis, and by the way, everybody in the room you're listening to here pays an earnings tax to the city of St. Louis just because we have to drive across the city limit to get to where we broadcast from. For that, I am penalized 1% of my salary every year that I have to pay to the coffers of the city of St. Louis for them to turn around and waste it. Here's how they famously wasted it since 2020, since COVID. And that is, they decided at some point to put a moratorium on water shutoffs after a years-long pause. And so back in the day, they decided, well, if you can't pay your water bill, we're just not going to shut it off. You just continue to get free water, and you don't have to pay for it anymore. Millions and millions and millions of dollars not being paid for city services when you add it all up.
$10 million at least. And they said that since it was put in place after COVID, more people have stopped paying their bills.
Well, of course you would.
And now they're saying, what was the figure? It was that nearly a quarter of the bills in the city are not getting paid.
No. More than 13,400 past due residential accounts totaling $12.6 million in overdue funds. That money is never coming back. You can't get blood out of a turnip, and the progressives in the city won't sue these people. That's what needs to happen. If you stop paying 4 years ago, you probably owe thousands of dollars in your water bills easily, and they're not going to have to pay that. They're going to forgive all that, which means taxpayers like us have paid for you to have water at your house. That's how silly this is. And here's how they spin it. This line absolutely killed me. The mayor described a new plan, a new transition report with ideas to reshape city services. They're calling it a bold roadmap for change, including recommendations for revitalizing neighborhoods, improving emergency response, and streamlining development across city departments. What in the hell does that have to do with the fact that 5 years ago you told people they didn't have to pay their bills, so guess what? They didn't pay their bills. And you're never, ever, ever going to recover any of that money. And you wonder why the schools are failing, and you wonder why we can't support the police department and hire more police officers. It's because you got idiots like this in charge. I'm sorry. Somebody's got to say it. That's just stupid.
I agree. You're just forgiving. I totally agree.
I mean, they're just going to wave a wand and act like these bills never happened? Come on. You know what they're after here. They want to socialize this and make it free moving forward. And that means, once again, they penalize the producers at the expense of the takers. And that's why we're in the situation we're in today. It's just incredible to me. All right, coming up next hour, you heard me talk about the St. Louis City soccer fan who got kicked out because he was wearing a MAGA hat. I've got him live at 6:20. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.